Yesterday, Hiraji explained the meaning of Satipatthana, and Hiraji explained the each portion of Satipatthana, the meaning of Sati, the meaning of Pa, and the meaning of Tana. Buddha did not just said Sati, but Buddha said Satipatthana. And Saraji explained that in every field, in every way, there is no such thing that Sati is excessive. But there can only be the case of Sati being deficient. So Sati should be high standard. The higher the standard of Sati is, the better it is. It should be exceptional, outstanding Sati. And Sati mindfulness should be very high in quality. It should not be just ordinary, but it should be extraordinary, and it should be outstanding and exceptional. That's why in the term Satipatthana, Pa is used to mean Bhusatta or Visitta. Bhusa means outstanding, exceeding. One should have high standard of mindfulness. If one has high standard of mindfulness, then the quality of Sati will also be high quality. The higher the standard is, the better the quality of Sati. So the Sati should be high quality Sati that is outstanding and exceptional. So that's why Buddha did not just use Sati, but combine with the other part, Patthana, and used it as Satipatthana. So Satipatthana means the mindfulness that is closely, firmly established, sustained on the object of meditation. And Sati should be continuous. That's why Patthana is explained as Pavadana. Pavadana means continuous without any gaps. That's why mindfulness is explained as mindfulness that is closely, firmly established on the object, and that the mindfulness is continuous without any gaps in between these mindfulness. Whatever the object that is arising, one should not miss object. There should not be void between the mindfulness. Just as the objects are arising continuously, mindfulness should follow continuously so that mindfulness will be closely established on the object, and mindfulness should be sustained and persistent. So Satipatthana is explained as mindfulness that is firmly, closely established, the mindfulness that is continuous, sustained and persistent, the mindfulness that is of high quality. in order to be a high quality sati, one needs the help or support. In order that the mindfulness should be continuous without any gaps, one needs the support of other factors. When the mindfulness is continuous, kilesa defilements have no chance to enter. By being mindful, one is protecting so that kilesa defilements cannot arise. Having mindfulness, the mind will not get polluted. The mind will be pure and clean. Understanding the benefits of practice, one will have faith and confidence in the practice. One will note the object continuously, and thus the mind will be pure and clean, and there will be sustained mindfulness. Only if one has strong will to practice, the person will be able to exert effort in the practice, wanting to get these benefits of practice, the person will exert effort. Saraji gives an example. If a person wants a precious, valuable thing, they have to pay a high price in order to get this precious thing. One cannot get precious thing cheaply. One should pay a high price to get something precious. In the same way, one should exert ardent effort in the practice. Adapa, ardent effort should be exerted, and the person will be called Adapi, the person who exerts ardent effort. Ordinary kind of effort will not do. One needs the support or the help of ardent effort in the practice. There should also be sadha, faith and confidence, and chanda, strong will, so that the person will develop sati. So in order to develop sati, one should be endowed with these supporting factors of viriya, effort, ardent effort, sadha, faith and confidence, and chanda, strong will, so that one will be mindful to note the object. In order to note the object without missing, without failing, one needs to exert effort continuously so that the noting mind will stick onto the object. One should also assert jhanic factor so that the noting will be effective and efficient. One needs to apply the jhanic factor of aiming, directing the mind towards the object. And one should also put effort in the practice so that there will be mindfulness. The noting will be effective and efficient. During the practice, one needs these factors as a support to develop mindfulness. So these factors of aiming, directing, and effort are needed during the practice in order to develop mindfulness. Without these help of these factors, one will never develop sati, mindfulness. So one should know whether one is noting the object effectively, efficiently, whether the person is asserting effort in the practice. If the yogi is noting in a way, like reciting something that one has memorized, then it will be superficial. Without aiming, directing the mind towards the object, the mind will not get to the target of this object to be noted. And thus, sati mindfulness will not develop, samadhi concentration will not develop, one will not know cause and effect, or the characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. Without these factors, aiming and effort, there is no way the person will be developing sati samadhi, mindfulness or concentration, and thus there is no way the person is going to know cause and effect or the characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. So without these factors in the practice, whoever the teacher may be, but if the yogi does not put necessary factors to note the object, then this person will not be developing any knowledge regardless of who his or her teacher is. In order to note presently arising object, one needs to aim the mind towards the object so that the noting mind will be face to face or direct with the object. Applying aiming, when the yogi aims the mind towards the object, then the mind will be fresh, active, alert, and blossom. And thus, there will not be not wanting to exert effort. There will not be wanting to take easy in the practice. Without aiming, the mind can be contracted, constricted. Aiming the mind towards the object, if there is aiming directing the mind, it is unfolding the constricted, contracted mind so that the mind will be fresh, blossom, and open. Aiming the noting mind towards the object is needed in the beginning of the practice. So in the beginning of the practice, yogi needs to note the object, aiming, directing the noting mind towards the object. And yogi should also exert ardent effort. Asserting ardent effort, one can overwhelm kosaccha, laziness. So vitakka, aiming or directing the noting mind, is the opposite factor to dispel laziness. And asserting ardent effort, this ardent effort is the overwhelming force in order to drive out the laziness. Having these two factors, vitakka, aiming, directing as the opposite force, and atapaviriya, ardent effort as the overwhelming force in order to drive out the laziness. Laziness wanting to take easy in the practice will be dispelled. That's why yogi should be noting, aiming the noting mind towards the object, putting effort in the practice, so that the noting mind will rub onto the object, the noting will be effective and efficient. When the noting mind rubs onto the object, when the noting is effective and efficient. When the mind falls on stiffness, tension, movement, then the yogi knows the nature of stiffness, tension, movement. When the noting mind is effective in noting falling of the abdomen, the yogi comes to see movement, relaxation. And also, when the yogi can note lifting, moving, placing of the foot effectively, efficiently, yogi will also see the true nature involved in lifting, moving, placing. There is no need to be thinking what it is, why is it. So yogi does not need to think on purpose what it is, why it is. But when the noting mind falls on the object, when the noting is effective, efficient, yogi comes to know the true nature without having to think about it. If the yogi is thinking why, what, and how, they are wasting their precious time and they are losing bhavana citta. If the yogi is gazing for 1 minute, then the yogi is losing 60 moments of bhavana citta. Having faith and confidence in the practice, wanting the benefit of practice to arise, one should be noting with aiming and effort so that the noting mind will rub onto the object. The noting will be effective and efficient so that there is no confusion, no doubt, no thinking. When the mind rubs onto the object, when the noting is effective and efficient, there will be paccaka. Yogi will have knowledge through direct experience. If the yogi is thinking about the cause, then this yogi is wasting his or her time. And Saraji says, some of the yogis are wasting the precious time by thinking, why is it, how is it? If the yogi can note effectively on the object, yogi will come to know through direct experiential knowledge on this true nature without having to think for. In the outside world, it may be beneficial to be thinking about things systematically. Thinking about things systematically, reflecting systematically, it is called patisankhana bala, power of prudence. Bhavana bala means power gained through mental development practice. So in the practice, one is developing bhavana bala. If the yogi is wasting time with reflection and thinking, they are losing bhavana bala, power gained through mental development practice. Instead of developing bhavana bala, if they are spending time reflecting and thinking, there will only be patisankhana bala, but they will be losing bhavana bala. That's why yogi should be very careful. Yogi should be cautious. They should be noting the presently arising object as directed in the instruction so that the noting mind will fall onto the true nature. Yogi should note according to the guidance given so that the noting will be effective, efficient, and the yogi will come to know the true nature. If something is probable and trustworthy, one should accept it. If one does not have faith and confidence on things that are trustworthy that are worthy of faith and confidence, which are then they are wasting time with thinking, reflecting. It is called Takavatana. They are increasing thoughts. If the person does not discern the paramatta, the ultimate truth that are to be known, then they will be thinking, they will be increasing thinking, it will be Takavatana. And if they are thinking on things that have no essence, no meaning, no true meaning, it is called Tukataka, dry thinking or senseless thinking that doesn't have any essence. So they will not have strength to practice in order to gain true knowledge if they have Takavatana, if they are increasing thinking. So in order to note effectively on the object of meditation, in order that the noting should be effective, one should be careful not to be increasing the thinking, Takavatana, or not to be doing senseless thinking, dry thinking, which are called sukha, dukkha. So when the person is increasing thinking, then the person is losing bhavana pala, power that is gained through mental development practice. And the person is also losing bhavana pala if the person is wasting time with Takavatana, increasing in thinking. And if the person is keeping on thinking, when the thinking becomes smooth and continuous, it can even incite mana, conceit. So increasing of thinking can also generate mana, conceit. And this increasing in thinking will lead the person to adhamma, non-dhamma path. And it is very frightening. It is said that dukkha, the thinking, is ati manasa mula. If one is thinking without any prudence, without bhavana bala, without the power of mental development practice, if they are thinking dryly, senseless, then there can be ati mana, there can be extreme conceit. Thinking is the root of extreme conceit. If they are thinking dryly, senselessly, there can be conceit such as, I am well versed, I am a genius, I am a scientist, I am a meditation teacher. In this way, asami mana, the conceit based on who the person is, will arise, and it is very frightening. So Saraji explains about three ways to accomplishment, three ways to siddhi, three ways to accomplishment. Siddha means accomplishment. So the three are, the first one is paccaka siddha, accomplishment through direct experiential knowledge. And the second one is anumana siddha, accomplishment through inference or deduction. And the third one is okkappana siddha, accomplishment through faith and confidence on things that are worthy of faith and confidence that are probable. Saraji gives an example. When sitting down from standing position, the yogi who understands that by noting, by being mindful is beneficial, yogi will value and cherish the practice, and yogi will be mindful when sitting down from standing position. When sitting down, when the yogi notes carefully, one will see series of intention to sit down, which is nama mentality. When the person discerns this series of intention to sit down, which is mentality, there is pachaka siddha, there is accomplishment through direct experiential knowledge. And also, at the moment of sitting down, there is also the materiality, the body becoming heavier and heavier, series of materiality, heavier, heavier. It is the effect, which is materiality. And noting at the moment of sitting down, the person discerns this materiality through direct experiential knowledge. So by noting continuously, when the Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, becomes very strong, when noting sitting down, yogi understands that the series of intention to sit is the cause, which is mentality, and the actual sitting down, when the body becomes heavier and heavier, stage by stage, it is effect, which is materiality. And thus, yogi understand that there are series of intentions, which is the cause, and the actual sitting down, which is the effect. And the yogi discern cause and effect arising in pair continuously like a stream of current. In this way, yogi discern cause and effect. And as the yogi continues to practice, the Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, becomes even stronger, and the yogi sees arising and passing away of the objects. Yogi sees that at the process of sitting down, the series of intention arises and passes away. The series of intention, all intention giving rise to new intention. Yogi sees impermanence, and the actual sitting down, the materiality, all materiality giving rise to new. In this way, yogi understand the characteristic of impermanence. By noting systematically according to the method of Satipatthana, yogi discerns the truth through his or her direct experiential knowledge. And it will be pachaka siddha. It will be accomplishment through direct experiential knowledge. There is no need to be thinking, why is it? How is it? What it is? If the yogi is discerning through his or her direct experiential knowledge, no need to be looking for the cause. If the yogi is discerning through his or her experiential practice, and the yogi comes to know distinctly between nama and rupa, between mentality and materiality. Yogi also sees the cause and effect, and also the characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. And understanding these, Yogi knows that in the past, in the sitting down process, there is cause and effect arising in this way. Based on what he, she understood clearly through his or her own experience, Yogi understands that in the past, these cause and effects are arising this way. In the future as well, it will arise as cause and effect this way. So based on what the person understands clearly through his or her experience, Yogi understands through inference and deduction that in the past and in the future, it is the same. Based on what one has understood in oneself, Yogi also understands that in other person as well, these cause and effect are arising, and there will also be impermanent suffering and non-self in the other person as well. So based on what one understands in oneself through one's own experience of practice, Yogi understands that in other persons it will be the same through inference and deduction. So it will be anumana siddha. Anumana siddha means accomplishment through inference and deduction. Only if one has gained pacchaka siddha, accomplishment through direct experiential knowledge, will one have anumana siddha, accomplishment through inference and deduction. There is no way anumana siddha can arise without pacchaka siddha, direct experiential accomplishment through direct experiential knowledge. If the person is thinking, increasing thinking, senselessly, dryly, without discerning paramattha, without discerning the ultimate reality, it will just be senseless, it will just be takavatana, and one will not know the truth. And the other siddha is okkappana siddha, accomplishment through faith and confidence. There are things worthy of faith and confidence, which may be beyond one's knowledge. So if the person has limited knowledge, and if the person cannot understand something that is beyond his or her knowledge, and will not accept it because he, she cannot understand it. So one should not do that way, not accepting something that is beyond one knowledge just because he, she have limited knowledge. If it is something that is worthy of faith and confidence, that is probable, then one should accept it in the way of okkappana siddha, in the way of accomplishment through faith and confidence. But if the person is thinking over something that is beyond his or her knowledge, it will be tiresome. The person will be having a lot of thoughts, which can even lead the person to go crazy. One should understand that practicing Satipatthana meditation is to gain pacchaka jnana, to gain knowledge, gain through direct experiential knowledge. So, practicing Satipatthana meditation is to gain knowledge through direct experience what is really present, what is really true in the way they are. Satipatthana meditation is to know, to discern nama rupa, mind and matter, cause and effect, and the characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self through direct experiential knowledge. There is nothing more. At the beginning of the practice, one may not know it, but understanding the benefit of practice, one should value and cherish the practice. Whatever object that arises in oneself, one should be noting these objects continuously, aiming the noting mind towards the object. When the noting mind is aimed or directed towards the object, the mind will not run elsewhere. The mind will not go elsewhere. There will not be sensual thoughts, kama vitaka, wanting to see good things, wanting to hear pleasant sounds, wanting to smell good fragrance, wanting to eat good flavor, wanting to touch good touch, and so on. When the noting mind is aimed or directed towards the object, there will not be anger, aversion, or dissatisfaction. And there will not be vyabhara vitaka, thoughts of ill will. There will not be envy, jealousy. So these defilements that can torment the mind cannot arise. When the mind is directed, aimed toward the object, there will not be wrongful thoughts. So this is the benefit. When the yogi is asserting ardent effort in the practice, yogi gains upper hand from laziness. Asserting effort in the practice, one can overwhelm laziness. Applying, aiming, directing the mind towards the object, which is the opposite force of laziness, this laziness has no chance to arise. So the overwhelming force, effort, can overwhelm laziness, so that not wanting to assert effort, becoming exhausted, will be overcome, and there will not be taking easy in the practice. One will not be enjoying metta sukha, the happiness of taking easy. So this is the benefit of asserting effort in the practice. By noting the object with aim and effort, the mind will not slip away from the object. The mind will fall calm and collected on the object, and thus there will not be uncertainty nor doubt. When the noting is effective and efficient, one will not be thinking, why is it, how is it? There will not be uncertainty or doubt, but one will be certain when the noting is effective and efficient. So there will not be uncertainty or doubt. One will be very clear and certain about the object the person can note effectively, efficiently. It is said that if one is not mindful, kilesa defilements can enter. Being mindful กิเลสา defilements have no chance to enter. When the yogi is noting on the object, there will not be kama vitaka, sensual thoughts. There will not be wrongful thoughts. Failing to exert effort in the practice, laziness will creep in by leaps and bounds.And there will be uncertainty and doubt, thinking whether this is right, thinking what it is, why is it, there will be uncertainty. Exerting effort in the practice, the noting mind will fall onto the object. When mindfulness is developed, mindfulness guards and protects the mind so that defilements cannot enter the mind. Having sati, mindfulness as protection, one will be free from this tormenting of these defilements, the defilements that can arise by lack of mindfulness. When the mind is calm and collected and unified, there will be samadhi, concentration, and thus the mind will not be agitated with raga or dosa. The mind is free from agitation with defilements, and thus there will be peace. Failing to note the object, kilesa defilements can enter. When the person is mindful, kilesa defilements have no chance to arise. Noting the presently arising object, one is guarding, protecting the mind away from the defilements, and defilements have no chance to arise. And this is the benefit by being mindful. When the mind is aimed or direct onto the object, such as rising and falling, one's mind will be direct or face to face with the object, and thus one comes to know the true nature of stiffness, tension, movement, and so on. When the person becomes skilled in aiming and directing the mind towards the object, the mind will be face-to-face or direct with the object, and thus one will come to know the true nature. This is the benefit of noting the object with aim and effort. What the person come to know by noting the object, it is not the knowledge gained from books or what he, she learned from the teacher. When the noting mind is direct or face to face with the object, one comes to know the true nature through his or her direct experience. And thus, the mind will not be polluted with the defilements. One discerns clearly, distinctly on the true nature, and it is called attapacchaka, knowledge gained through direct experiential practice. Buddha encouraged people to practice Satipatthana meditation, so that one comes to know the truth. So people are encouraged to note whatever object that arises. Yogis should be noting continuously whatever the object arises without any gaps in between. So today 1 hour is up.